minutes of the overall interview. Now, it should be noted that CBS settled Donald Trump's lawsuit where he frivolously sued them because they edited Kamala Harris's interview so it would fit into their airtime. Very minor mechanical edits with Kamala Harris. There were deep edits of this interview in the Midas Touch review of what went down here.
So again, lies.
Yeah.
Absolute lie. Well, now it's, oh, well, it was a frivolous lawsuit, but they paid out. Why? I don't know.
Yeah, the payout wasn't frivolous, if I recall. Was it $16 million or was that Paramount? Yeah. He sued and beat a lot of guys.
Yeah, impressive, for a lot of money.
A lot of dough.
And it was changing under Kamala's. It was changing the answers of a question. It was not done in order to bring it in under time. And in this case, I fully understand what CBS and 60 Minutes was doing. They had a certain amount of time, and Donald Trump just bloviates. So I think this is absolutely fine all the way around, which is, hey, Donald Trump, we have 28 minutes to fill. We'd like to talk to you, okay? And Donald Trump then talks for 73 minutes. And you're like, well, now what do? We edit the one version, you put it on TV, and then you say, hey, if you want to see all 73 minutes, go to our YouTube page or webpage, whatever they're sending you to.
Yes.
Which is uncut and unedited. So I don't know what this concept from Midas, like, well, of course, he claims CBS edited Kamala and they didn't, but they did it for him. It's like, really, this is all you have is the same playbook of lies? Come on.
Yeah.
Big major edits, which I'll go over with you as well. Now, CBS tends to be very litigious with their 60 minutes content, so I'm not going to actually play the videos.
Oh.
I'm going to describe what Donald Trump actually said, what aired on TV, and then what didn't make it to TV, but what was shown online.
Yeah, that's where I'm like, I'm just cutting right out. Oh, no. I would have clips for you, but CBS might sue us. Really? Fuck you. That's not how news works.
Not at all.
Fucking liars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to see the fucking lawsuit where you take a 60-second clip of a news program.
Right. I want to see that too,
and break it down on your little fucking retarded podcast, Midas. And then I want to see CBS sue you for doing that.
Yeah.
Liar. I mean, it's just unbelievable the amount of lies that the left pulls out.
Yeah, but it's easy because his listeners are mouth breathers. They believe that shit.
And it's so much easier to make it sound like something else when you're like, well, you know what? I'm not going to bring the audio of what Larry Blydner said, but let me tell you what he said.
Yeah, let me interpret it.
Right. Let me just go in a whole different direction here. It'll be great. No, you don't have to question what I'm telling you because you trust me. It is just phenomenal. Once you realize exactly what they're doing and the fact that most of these people are being paid by dark money sources on the left, it makes a lot more sense because it did. I mean, I've asked you the question multiple times and it took me a long time to understand why would these media people do this and just continue to lie, lie, lie? It's like, well, then you realize they're getting paid to lie.
Yeah.
The only thing that makes sense. And speaking of people getting paid to lie, this I thought was very interesting. And it's about a 3-minute clip, but it is Kamala Harris talking to Jon Stewart on his podcast. And she kind of starts out with the, wow, Donald Trump's building a ballroom. And the more interesting thing comes after that blurb that everybody had, which is, I think Jon Stewart provides us with more word salad than Kamala Harris.
Really?
When trying to ask, I think, and I'm just reading into this, watching this, that Jon Stewart is used to having conversations like you and I do, which is you say things and the other person responds. You're not necessarily saying, well, what do you think of that, Larry? And then you're responding.
Right.
It seems to me that Jon Stewart kept like putting things out there, expecting Kamala Harris to jump out and start the conversation again.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't.
Okay.
So he keeps going and then pauses and she doesn't. And so he finally gets around to putting it into some form of a question. But it's interesting. That's more towards the end. She's going to start out with her fake anger over the ballroom.
So in talking with Kamala, one needs infographics to make things understandable.
At least maybe some hieroglyphics to go along with them.
Gotcha.
And not to mention, I mean, are you fucking kidding me? This guy wants to create a ballroom for his rich friends while completely turning a blind eye to the fact that babies are going to starve when the SNAP benefits end in just hours.
Okay. Right. Okay. One, it is a ballroom at the White House for anybody to use, for all future presidents to use, not for Trump's buddies. I mean, okay, it would be hilarious if Donald Trump in 3 years knocked the ballroom down before leaving the White House.
That would be funny. But first, I want him to invite us because we're his buddies. You hear me, Don? We are your buddies.
We wants to be in the ballroom.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, no. And then when you try to equate this to the SNAP benefits, not the same thing. And the news story on Trump with the SNAP benefits was the court said, you have to pay it. And he immediately responded with, tell me how I can legally do that. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, in the court, the judge even was like, well, thank you for your quick response. And this was, you know, this is being handled properly. So the Democrats, anybody trying to frame this as Donald Trump trying to starve children is also lying to, but it's not a surprise when it's Kamala Harris.
No.
And the SNAP benefits end in just hours from now? Come on. So what? I'm not going to be distracted by, oh, does the guy have a big fucking hammer? What about those babies?
I mean, she thought that line about the hammer was going to land. I don't know what that was all about, though.
What? So I guess he's what? He's Thor? Is that what this is?
Maybe. Mm. I thought he was Bob the Builder, but I could be wrong. But he's like, okay, I don't care about his big hammer. What about those babies? Well, the babies are being taken care of. And I'm not going with the ballroom joke and Michelle Obama net. I'm going to leave that one. Leave that one in the troll room.
Okay.
Right. And I guess the point is, if you're, and I feel your, obviously your anger on it. How do we convince the Democrats that the system needs to be disrupted enough so that a person that's going to build a ballroom to the disadvantage of people on SNAP, and we're conflating, it's obviously not the same money, but
okay, one, credit to Jon Stewart for going, yeah, not the same funds. So
yeah, she didn't, I don't like even know that, I'm sure.
Really, a real journalist would have said, well, those two things don't really have anything to do with each other. So he kind of still gave her little props, but also then threw in not the same funding.
Yeah, you soft pedaled it.
You're looking at, you know, obviously the vision of it.
But John, let's talk about $20 billion going to Argentina.
To Argentina, right.
And
right.
And it cost $8 billion to keep SNAP going for poor children.
Right.
Come on. A taxpayer dollars, by the way.
Right. When I think about like your campaign, right? Have we lost sight that the old rules don't apply? You've got a great thing in there. I think David Plouffe said to you at some point, he said, you got to nail four things. You got to nail the rollout. Right. You got to nail your debate. You got to nail your convention speech. And you got to nail, I think there was one other thing, might've been your VP or.
Yeah.
And it's so.
By she all measure, blew that one.
Yeah. 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 No doubt. And, Eric Pepe in the troll room says, now she cares about babies. Well, yeah,
all of a sudden,
you can only kill them before they come out of their mother.
Right.
After that, we really are worried about them, their well-being once they're born.
But it's not killing them. It's reproductive health care.
Yes.
Remember that.
Provide that for all, please.
Yes.
Mention speech, and you got to nail, I think there was one other thing, might've been your VP or.
Yeah.
And it's so. But by all measures, you nailed every one of those.
Which one? I had to pause there to laugh hysterically.
Which one there, Stuart? Yeah, tell us.
Like she really nailed everything. She was such a great candidate. She picked a great VP. She was just bringing everybody in the house where they needed to be. But no, I don't think she really hit any of those out of the park. So again, he's really not just soft pedaling. Now you want to talk about like kissing the ass of the person that you are interviewing here? Come on.
Yes. He's kissing her ass. Totally. Yes.
You just did that convention speech, the debate, the rollout, the enthusiasm. You literally changed the dynamic in people's minds so that
fuck off. I mean, really, you know, this guy, I never understood. Well, I did get that guy's success because he was one of the original clap comics, you know. A few times I watched his show and I thought, when the fuck does this guy get funny? And he never got any big laughs, but he got plenty of applause because he was saying what people wanted to hear, shit like this.
And back in the day, he was the only one that seemed to be any kind of news media figure on the left that would do things like have debates with Bill O'Reilly. And they were entertaining. But now, where is that? Where is the, we talk to the guy on the other side of the aisle and we hear their ideas and they tell you why you're wrong and you tell them why you're wrong. He's wrong. And everybody learns. It's like now it's a very, we're only preaching to the choir group and that's really not working.
Who won those O'Reilly debates? I didn't see any of them.
I'm sure O'Reilly would tell you he did.
Right.
And Stewart would probably tell you he did.
Did you see any of them?
Yeah, it was a long time ago. But from what I remember, they're probably on YouTube.
Yeah.
They were, O'Reilly made a lot of points. And because he has the stats behind him where Jon Stewart, being the lefty, really only had the more of like, hey, we've got an idea on how we're going to fix this, but we haven't tried the idea yet.
Did O'Reilly scream, fuck it, we'll do it live?
He should have.
That's my favorite thing from him of all time.
He should have. And there was somebody on that he had on somewhat recently that made reference to that clip. Like, like, you know, you're famous, right? I mean, this is been part of that is the, you know, having the meme of that. Having that clip just live forever with it. We'll do it live.
That's a perfect impression. Very good.
You know, that is, he's surprised. And I can only imagine, I mean, he's like anywhere he goes, people will recognize him, which is an oddity. I mean, I don't know what it would feel like to, you know, and his level of fame is so much lower than, you know, so many others like Taylor Swift, probably the most recognizable person in the world. Joe Rogan's up there, I'm sure. Where can you go that somebody isn't going to recognize you?
Yeah, but you know what? Think of how lucky O'Reilly is. I mean, I wouldn't be the least bit, you know, ashamed or embarrassed if that was kind of my lifetime calling card. Fuck, right. We'll do it live. You know, right. It's kind of a guy, you know, I don't know. I really know the whole thing behind it, but he was clearly fucking enraged over something, incompetent crew members, whatever. And he fucking blew his lid. I kind of applaud that, you know. It's not like somebody caught him doing something really creepy. You know, gives a fuck.
Right.
It's pretty cool, I think.
He's like the Irish temper. Everybody knows that is a...
Oh, we don't have those. We're cool as cucumbers.
He should really be the call. Bill O'Reilly should be on call anytime one of us can't do a show where he could just slip right on in.
That's a good idea. Let's send him a message, see if he's available.
He's like, now he's getting older and he's gotten wiser and he's more likely to take a breath before he responds. And but then again, he's in his mid-70s, so we've still got a little ways to go to hit Bill's age.
Enthusiasm, you literally changed the dynamic in people's minds so that you felt that surge of possibility and excitement and joy. You nailed all of those status quo conventional mileposts that they would put out for a candidate to be successful. And it wasn't. And
so, like, both of those, I'm thinking he's waiting, right? Doesn't this sound like he's waiting for her to jump in?
Yeah.
And talk, and she's just looking like...
Sure. Well, he's giving her an opening to come out back with some... Well, for, you know, the guys, he just lied on four counts, one after. She didn't nail a fucking thing. She was awful at every turn, right?
Yes, was not a good candidate.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as dumb as she is, she knows she sucked.
Right. So. She's like, I don't want to talk about me being good.
Right.
People are going to make fun of me if I say I was good.
Right. So she knows she sucked, and she probably didn't. She's not wise enough to figure that she would be prompted with a cue like that and have ready something like, well, you know, I got dicked over by, I don't know, Ronna McDaniel or the Jack in the Box clown or something, you know, fucked me out of the game. So she just answers with silence. It's pretty funny.
It's music's original alternative. It's silence.
That's right.
Is that consultant status quo establishment complex also part of when you talk about the status quo fighting back? Mm-hmm. It's not just coming from outside the house. It's coming from inside the house. And aren't we ready for the kind of disruption that reimagines this? So that we don't find ourselves in this situation again, because it's so hard to get any sense of people taking responsibility for that.
That was some fucking word salad,
right?
What the fuck did he just say?
Here's the thing. Really? I walked away from this going, well, maybe Kamala Harris isn't that big of an idiot.
Yeah, she's smarter than he is in this case. I mean, holy shit. What did that even mean?
I don't know. And I don't know what he was trying to prompt. And all throughout all of that, all he got from her was one.
Yeah.
Like, whatever you say, John, no idea.
Okay. Yeah.
And there's a little more at the end here.
There are real shortcomings and flaws in how we're doing politics right now and how we're running campaigns. I give you that. When we look at 2024, at least when we look at those 107 days, I think we have to distinguish that between what was leading up to those 107 days, right? I do believe one of the biggest factors that was at play in the 107 days, we just didn't have enough time. We didn't have enough time.
Or was it too much time? I mean, if you had done the election after 60 days, I think you win. Honestly.
Now, why, John? Tell us why. Right.
I feel bad for Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do. Who was like, okay, you know, 107 days, we just didn't have enough time. And then the schmuck that's interviewing you, who's allegedly on your side and been kissing your ass, is like, well, maybe it wasn't enough. Maybe it was too much time.
You could have done it in half, exactly.
Right.
But to her credit, she's staying on task. She's plugging her fucking book title.
True. We got to sell them. We got to get the money. We got to sell the book.
Get the money.
I can tell you, if I was going to read one book and it came between Kamala Harris and Charlie Sheen, there's not even close.
Oh, my God. I'd read Charlie's laundry list first. Are you kidding?
A lot more entertaining.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you agreed with that, because I listened to that and I'm like, I would cut the part of the clip that everybody else did. But the Jon Stewart babbling, I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Just nonsense. Really?
When did he become incoherent? And that's what it really seemed like. Now, if that was Donald Trump, they'd be like, oh, my God, Donald Trump had an aneurysm.
But John was in the presence of greatness, so that probably rattled him.
He's like, I don't know how to talk to somebody who doesn't know how to talk back. It's very weird.
It's very weird.
It is definitely a bit bizarre, but that's the media.
He should have called her Mamala throughout the interview. That would have been
maybe
funny.
He did. I don't know what he called her. It's a very bizarre world. Where should we go here?
Oh, let's see what we got here. See my stuff here.
Here on the beautiful Planet Rage Show, where your rage levels will go up or your money back.
We could take a detour. I get a funny thing here. It's if she's not the top person in the Canadian military, she's pretty damn close, this woman. She's a femme general weeping an apology for the injustice that took place in the Canadian military. And she actually starts weeping. And then I tagged it, Darren. You know, when you think it's over, the end of this clip, it's not over. There's another little, just let it run a little longer, because there's something else from a very special person saying something very. And as I listen to this, as people get into it, I watch this and I thought, you know, if I was like some fucking nut in some shithole country that had some munitions, some armaments, and I wanted to establish myself as a conquering hero, after listening to this broad talk, I'd say, men, we're heading for Canada. Because we can kick their asses, really.
Oh, there's no doubt. But then would you really want to occupy Canada? That would be...
No other reason than the natural resources. You know, give me that lumber and they probably get some oil up there and fuck knows what else. True. The beavers. Moose. I don't know.
Got a lot of moose. That is true. A
lot of moose. Yeah.
Today is a significant milestone in the history of the Canadian Armed Forces, and it is also a very difficult day. A day on which we are confronting a painful truth. That our institution caused harm to countless people it was meant to support and respect. Our great institution stands on a foundation of fundamental values, values that should be in turn manifest in the daily words and deeds of every one of our members. Systemic racism, racial discrimination, and harassment are an affront to these values, and yet we allowed these injustices to occur and fester within our ranks.
Now, I've known a lot of French people, spent some time in France. I don't know where the fuck this accent's come. She sounds Ukrainian to me. Does she sound like, is that a French accent?
I don't know what the Quebec accent would normally be, if it's any more different than a straight French accent.
It's very odd.
I'm not really picking up a very strong French vibe to it. I'm with you. It does kind of sound a little bit maybe of a Eastern European kind of. But which is maybe where she came from. Maybe she was imported into Canada.
Could be. Yeah.
And as individual, whether this stemmed from ignorance, indifference, complacency, or complicity is not an excuse. It was a clear betrayal of everything we stand for. Therefore, on behalf of the Canadian Armed Forces, I offer my most sincere and deepest apologies. I apologize to every CAF member, veteran who experienced racism, discrimination, and harassment.
Somebody's weeping. Do you hear that? There's an audience member that's fucking weeping.
Somebody's really? Like, wow, this is too hard to watch. Like, what am I doing here? I do not want to be here.
And I acknowledged we failed you. To every single member of the Canadian Armed Forces at every rank level, on every base, wing, station, operation, and deployment, I say today's apology is a milestone in our history. But it is just that. It's a milestone, and it does not represent an endpoint. It is a path we have set ourselves along a difficult and much longer journey that we must undertake together.
Journey.
Together.
A journey of reflection and of self-awareness, of understanding and allyship.
Well, today is another Liberation Day. The liberation of America's warriors, in name, in deed, and in authorities. You kill people and break things for a living. You are not politically correct and don't necessarily belong always in polite society. President Trump has your back, and so do I. Move out and draw fire, because we are the War Department. Godspeed.
Room, attention.
No, we can't have war.
Man, that's what I want to hear from the guy running the fucking armed services. Just
not a crying apology because somebody might have had their feelings hurt at some point.
What a fucking idiot. It's just incredible. I mean, that country is so catastrophically fucked.
And you know why? Because, again, there's no leadership. Their leadership is, we're sorry if we offend you, rather than, hey, this is right, this is wrong, shut up and sit down.
Yeah.
Like, again, this is why parents with the kids who don't actually parent, they have the problems because, you did not set the bar when you need to.
I love that. Their job is to break things and kill people. That's exactly correct.
You don't want them to be the most polite people. I mean, I guess you could say sorry as you're blowing somebody's head off.
You could say that. You know what? I get a better idea. First, you fucking destroy everyone. Then you fly the plane over and drop leaflets that say, we're sorry.
Sorry for destroying your homeland.
Yeah, we're sorry. Good luck.
It had to be done.
Had to be done.
Speaking of lying liars that lie.
Yeah.
This was a clip that the Rogan people put out. So I'm assuming this is real because my first question was, is this AI or something else? But this of AOC.
Oh.
And the reaction that was interspersed when I saw the clip that Rogan had, it was like a short, which I hate shorts.
Yeah, I hate them too.
Was like, this is all South Park. And it's like that, I think he hits on the nose. And I don't know why AOC released this, but this puts her again with the Pacmans, with the Olbermans, with the Jennifer Welches, who are going to sit there,
yeah,
look you in the eye and lie.
And I think it also puts her with Francis the Mule.
Probably.
Yes.
Donald Trump is less popular than he has ever been. He is underwater on virtually every issue. If you oppose and are disgusted by what this administration is doing, you are in the company of a majority of Americans. You are not alone. More people disapprove and are opposed to this administration right now than they are in support of this administration. Those are the numbers.
So I just don't understand the point. There's nothing to back this up. This wasn't like a new XYZ poll says this. This is just lie after lie. It's like, oh, if you don't like Donald Trump, you're in the majority.
But
you can't make that case.
Are you calling AOC a liar?
Yes. Because you're it correct. Appears she's not telling the truth. It would appear that she is lying or she is ignorant. I mean, we're back to our favorite game show, Larry. Imbecile or ignorant?
There we go. Yeah.
The show you could play with all of the clips that you hear from the left. Imbecile or ignorant?
I like that. I or I.
And it can be both. You can double I.
Definitely.
A lot of that's where they kind of fall in. It's like, I don't understand why. And I know they're being paid to lie.
So Rogan played this clip? Is that where you found that?
Yeah, it was on his X channel that had the unadulterated. And I think it was also his X channel that had the, or maybe it was YouTube that had a short version where he was like, this is all just whoever he was his guest with for the day when they were watching this. Yeah. Was like, this is all South Park. You know, and no, that's really what it seems to be. And I still don't understand why. What it accomplishes except trying to calm your base down to be like, well, no, don't believe everything you see that Donald Trump's doing a great job. No, you're right. Yeah, you're not alone.
Sure. Well, yeah, it's don't believe your lying eyes, of course. Yes.
Right. But it's like, why? What's the point? I don't get it.
Well, what else can they say at this point?
Hey, we're total fucking retards and we totally ruined the world and now we don't know what to say.
That's it. That's what they should say. Yes.
We don't know what to say. Although Victor Davis Hanson, he always knows what to say.
Big baby.
Talking about the left and their fight against ICE and not as something we have talked about here, not understanding history. And it's, again, ignorant or imbecile. These folks like J.B. Pritzker, who think that they, as the ruler of a state, although I do have to take 2 points off of the Victor Davis Hanson book today for saying Illinois.
Yeah, he does that a lot. He mangles some words. It's very strange. I don't know where that comes from because he's a smart guy, but he does that.
As an Illinoisian. I mean, I understand that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
But you don't pronounce that part. So I take a couple points off for that. But his concept here, I think, is right on, that these folks like Pritzker are in for a very rude awakening if they don't think there's going to be any kind of blowback for flouting federal law just because you're a governor or a mayor.
No, no.
You don't get the right to do that.
No. And before we get too far from mispronunciations, you're a Catholic boy just like me. 16 years of it I had, and I think you did too.
No, I was much less. I only went to Sunday school and then 4 years of Catholic high school. Although I went to DePaul University, which was a Catholic university, but it really wasn't Catholic. It was already taken over by the secular liberals by that point.
All right. Well, mine were pretty much, in the same pocket for all 16 years. But, you know, the word, the Latin word, you took 2 years of Latin. So that's more than I took. So I'm sure you're familiar with the word imprimatur, right? You see in the front of you see in front of published books, Catholic books. It said Neil Obstad imprimatur. And the boys had a clip of Glenn Greenwald, and he repeatedly said imprimatur. And they said it the same way. And I think they're all wrong. What do you say?
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a Latin pronunciation.
No, it's imprimatur, accent on the third syllable. Anyway, that's all I had to say.
All I remember is Domici Fermentum, which means bring me an alcoholic drink, and the conjugating sumest esse sunt. I mean, that, if I remember.
It's also a hit song by Jerry Vale, Non Dimenticare. Yeah.
Probably made more money on it than anybody else speaking Latin anytime this century.
Well, you know, I have a buddy who's is about Italian as can get. He's lived there for a bunch of years and stuff. And we were talking the other day on the phone, and he said that the word vernacular came. It was actually a conference call with a third friend. And the third guy said, "What the hell's vernacular?" And he said, "Well, you know, really, Italian is a vernacular from Latin." And that's correct.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Hello, this is Victor Davis Hansen.
It's like Johnny Cash. He always will say, hello.
Hello, I'm Johnny Trash.
This is Victor Davis Hanson.
For the Daily Signal, we're starting to see a neo-Confederate nullification movement among the contemporary left in general, in particular the Democratic Party. In other words, there are governors like Governor Pritzker of Illinois or Governor Newsom of California or Governor Kotek in Oregon who openly, literally, candidly says that federal immigration law shall not be enforced in their jurisdictions, their state, county, and local municipal jurisdictions. They haven't read Article 6 of the Constitution. It says explicitly that in matters of the enforcement of federal authority and jurisdiction, which is the United States, it supersedes local law enforcement. And they're completely ignorant of history and where nullification of federal law leads to. We saw it under the Eisenhower administration when Little Rock refused to follow a court order to integrate its school system. The governor, Orville Faubus, defied the federal government. President Eisenhower had to nationalize the Arkansas National Guard and forcibly stop him. The same thing happened in Mississippi under Governor Ross Barnett. 1961, 1963, George Wallace stood in the doorway of the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and said, I will not allow federal troops to desegregate this university. And they forced him to do that. From 1855 to 1859, there was something called Bleeding Kansas, and that meant that groups that were pro-Southern or pro-Union sent settlers into the territory of Kansas to change the demography so each side would be able to force the United States to either admit it as a free or a slave state. But the point was that federal law died. Each side nullified it, and they began to carry on violence against one another. John Brown, the infamous killer at Harper's Ferry, he executed five people in a raid on a southern community, and there was tit-for-tat violence on both sides. What we're seeing now is open street violence in Portland. Antifa-like or Antifa themselves, protesters pelt ICE agents. They point lasers at their eyes. They try to rush the facilities. And then in extremists, they run over to the other side of the street for the sanctuary of local policemen. In the Chicago area, when ICE agents are besieged and blockaded by cars and under threat, local police do not come to their aid. And it's almost as if these governors and these mayors, it's not almost if, it is, that they are nullifying federal law in the best spirit of the neo-Confederacy. They are saying that Los Angeles or California or Chicago or Illinois have their own unique cultures. And we do not want the federal government coming onto federal property, their own property, and enforcing federal law among us. So they are the successors to Jefferson Davis or Mr. Calhoun, this segregationist states' rightist that tried to nullify the federal government.
Yeah, and he goes on for a while more and just ends with, you know, it's got to stop.
Yeah, he forgot to say insurrectionists, right? Yeah. Isn't that what that is?
You would think, because you are defying federal law.
Yeah.
And it's like, again, this is exactly what the hysterical part, of course, is the people that are doing this will tell you that Trump tried to have foment an insurrection while they're literally doing that.
Sure.
It's like, okay, if you don't idiot or ignorant. I mean, imbecile, ignorant, idiot, there's a lot of eyes. It is just bizarre that we are living in a time where you once again have leaders of states actively saying you will not enforce federal law. Yeah. And then thinking there's nothing's going to happen. Nobody's going to do anything.
Well, we'll see if anything does happen because it's been going on for quite some time. So
I want to see J.B. Pritzker and Brandon Johnson perp walk. That's what I would like to see.
I would love to see them in orange jumpsuits. And then, of course, Big Tish and Alvin Bragg and Jack Smith and Fannie Willis. That little quartet all in orange jumpsuits. Will we? Remains to be seen.
Yeah. Nobody's above the law, Larry. We've been
told. Right. Especially you and me.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's true. For us, they would be at the door already.
Speaking of the law, I have a clip here from a juridical stripe. It's an Arizona judge, Christine Schaff Olson, and her hubby got busted because she was taking a public street leak.
Well, see, now that's a rarity for a woman.
You think? Yeah. I've known quite a few that were adept at that unseemly practice.
I mean, I guess everybody's got to have a hobby.
I guess, and this was this woman's. It's a very funny clip if you hear it.
What are you doing?
Stop! I should have set it up. This is it's a cop's body cam, and he's approaching a woman who is just like slithering onto a park bench on a fairly big street, with storefronts and so forth. And as he's talking to her, she's pulling her pants up over her ass because obviously she has been just busy,
And you have to ask the question. You can't just assume anything these days.
Yeah. So she's talking and sounds very, very loaded. In the file's called "You Can't Make This Shit Up." This arrest occurred on a street in this town in Arizona. The street was actually called Whiskey Row.
Oh, well, that makes more. This is allowed, probably.
This is probably, yeah. And then as this little drama is unfolding, This guy comes kind of sauntering up beside her, and the cop quickly guesses that he's the husband, and that's correct. And the husband, she's a judge in this city, some kind of superior court judge, and hubby is the head of parks and recreation for the town of Prescott, Arizona. So you can hear the rest of it.
Why? What are we doing?
For an Uber.
This is disgusting.
I'm waiting for an Uber.
Okay, this is unacceptable. Where's your ID?
It's my husband's wallet. Walk that way.
What's your last name?
Wilson.
You gotta spell it.
O-L-S-O-N.
O-L-S?
O-N.
O-N? Spell your first name.
Christine.
You spell it.
K-R-S-T-Y-N.
Okay, you've got to be really loaded to not be able to spell your name.
Exactly, yes.
Wow.
She's got to think about this for a bit.
Wow, that is a whole special type of loaded.
Special kind of loaded, yeah.
K-R.
Hi.
Okay.
S-T-Y.
What's your date of birth?
19.
Are you from Arizona?
I was originally born in Nevada.
What's your middle name?
Marie.
515, can you run a 101 Nevada in Arizona? Are you her husband?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you hang out over by the cab for me?
Nope. Come on.
Yeah, you can, because I'm conducting an investigation.
For what?
Because I just saw her puking and urinating, exposing herself to several people.
That wasn't her.
Okay, you can go by the cab, or you can continue to interfere with the investigation.
Yeah, come on, baby.
Okay.
No.
Last chance. Go over to the cab.
No.
Okay. Well, then you're detained.
Stop.
You can't do this.
I'm gonna fucking throw you on the ground if you resist.
Throw me.
I gave you several chances, and you don't want to listen.
We have a cab. Go, baby.
We had a cab, he tells the wife.
Yeah, I think this is long past the cab being here.
Long past the cab being here. And the guy says, and the cop says, you know, I just saw your wife puking and pissing in the street naked. And he says, no, that wasn't her.
Uh-huh. How do you know? Well, of course it wasn't her. These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Exactly. That's right. It was the fucking
Jedi mind trick. It's got to be. Yeah. It's got to work at some point. I saw your wife puking and peeing all over, exposing herself. These are not the briefs you're looking for.
No, that's not the puke, you know.
Yes. No.
5-1 resisting.
Stop. I'm not doing anything.
Get your ass on the fucking ground, dude.
I'm not doing anything.
5-15, we're fighting.
I'm not fighting.
Grab the cuffs.
Here, I
go. Let's breathe.
Just take these.
So a kerfuffle ensues?
A kerfuffle ensues. The guy, you know, the guy, he, despite what he said, you know, the cop says, you know, wait over there. I'm doing an investigation. The guy says, no. And then he says, well, I'm going to throw you in the gun to ground. And the guy says, go ahead, throw me. And then the cop did. So, okay. You asked me. You know, which is my command. So she, apparently she resigned a couple of days later. And I checked to see, like, I was very curious, you know, is she a lefty or righty, whatever. And I probably didn't dig deep enough on Grok or ChatGPT, because it said to qualify for this judgeship in Prescott, Arizona, you have to be neutral in every fashion. They won't appoint you a judge if you lay claim to some political party, which, I don't know, does that happen anywhere else? Certainly not New York or California.
It's very hard to find anybody neutral.
Yeah, so, but that's the way it came up. But so apparently she's not hearing any more cases, but I guess he'll still be keeping the sandbox full and the seesaws clean at Parks and Recreation, so...
Interesting.
Yes.
Let's see if the chats, the large language models can tell us anything about her.
Yeah.
Let's see here. She looks like an angry woman, which I guess would make a lot of sense.
She does. She does look, yeah. But yeah, I got to say, she was kind of feeble compared to those bimbos in Nantucket a few episodes back who kept shrieking at the cop, I'm an AG. And the other one's going, she's a fucking AG. You're both under arrest. Remember those two? That was funny as hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it doesn't matter. Nobody's above the law.
No.
Yeah, it doesn't really have much except that she was involved with the kerfuffle and then was now out of and the Arizona Commission on Judicial Conduct is reviewing the matter.
There you go.
That can never go well for anybody.
Probably not. No. No.
Now you've got the FBI guy on Islam. I mean, that seems like it could be fun this for the whole family.
This is fascinating. This clip popped up and I don't think it's very new. I think it goes back probably to closer to just post 9/11. And this guy is some FBI agent, and he's giving about a 3-minute dissertation on his understanding of Islam, and it's pretty interesting. And I think this probably popped up because a lot of people say that Mamdani is a kind of a jihadist himself,
right?
And I think that's probably why this came up. And then again, when it's over, it's not over, Darren. There's another little tag there that I left on that I think will amuse you and our friends.
What's they said in Animal House, nothing is over until we decide it is.
Exactly.
The entire purpose of Islam, according to all Islamic doctrine, is to ensure that there is an Islamic state throughout the entire world called a caliphate. And under that, Sharia or Islamic law is the law of the land. That's it. Islam is no more complicated than that. Islam breaks the entire world into two parts. The Dar al-Islam, where Sharia is the law of the land, and the Dar al-Harb, the house or abode of war, where there is not Sharia as the law of the land. The function of Islam is to eliminate the Dar al-Harb until the entire world is a Dar al-Islam. And the vehicle to do that is called what? Jihad, which in 100% of all published Islamic law is only defined as warfare against non-Muslims. So let's just put that on the line. And so we're here talking national security issues. We have people here that are running for the office of President of the United States, and we have to begin there. And what I would put forth is that since 9/11, our entire national security apparatus has been unprofessional in its approach to this war, from the four-star generals to the office of the president to the national security staff to the leaders of DHS when it was created, the FBI, the CIA, and other agencies. Because we have said this has nothing to do with Islam, despite the fact that our warfighting doctrine says when you analyze an enemy, you start with who he says he is and why he's fighting. And 100% of this enemy that we're facing, from the jihadi in Chattanooga to the 9/11 hijackers and everybody before and in between, have all said we're Muslims waging jihad in the cause of Allah in order to impose Islamic law and establish caliphate, period. So that's what it is. And if we look in Islamic law, authoritative Islamic law, the kind you get at mosque bookstores, not at Barnes & Noble, you will see that 100% of them say that jihad is warfare against non-Muslims. And it's total warfare. It's not just guns and bombs. It's psychological warfare. It is political warfare. It's subversion. It is the whole nine yards. It's total warfare, something that our DOD has not been practicing. I would say you'd have to go back towards Reagan administration and maybe even beyond that. Complete and total war against non-Muslims.
The face of terror is not the true faith of Islam. That's not what Islam is all about. Islam is peace.
It's been a while since we heard W.
Been a while, right? So, interesting. Two contrasting viewpoints. Which is correct?
I think they can both coexist. I mean, I think there's a decent amount of Muslims out there who are not trying to take over the world.
That's probably true.
But if at the very heart of the religion is that desire, then I guess it's also, there's a lot of things in Christianity and Catholicism that a lot of Catholics go, eh. For a while, how long was it like, don't use birth control? Catholics like, well,
yeah,
that's great you say that, but so it's, I think they can both exist. It's just a question of when you see areas becoming overrun, as far as all of a sudden you're in the UK or you're in parts of the United States and a vast majority of the population in an area is Muslim, and then they start bringing Sharia law just in the, you know, not in the official term, of course, but it's still being taken part in the community there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, these are things you have to at least be very aware of.
Yes, because
there are some strong roots to Islam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's good for people to understand.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, overall, there's a lot of people that would consider themselves Islamic who would probably not slit your throat if given the chance.
Mm-hmm.
But there might be some that are.
Yep.
I mean, I make the joke when I went to the barber that was the Islamic dude. Like, I don't know. If he heard Planet Rage, man, you never know.
Uh-oh.
You never know. We might be disagreeing on some things. And
uh-oh.
It's like, that's why people shouldn't even bring politics into a lot of them. But
no.
How can you not bring politics into things now?
It takes a great deal of effort, really.
Yes, to be like, no, I'm just going to just going to check out on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But here he is, David Pakman. Oh, and I did hear from Dame Slamy. She's okay. Just taking a bit of a digital detox, which.
Okay. I applaud that. It's good to just check out from everything for a while, except this show, of course.
Right. You should be listening to Planet Rage 24/7.
Yes.
Everything else, just get rid of your internet connection. Just you need it for Planet Rage.
Yes.
Trump needs you focused on anything other than what's in the Epstein files. 42 million people not getting food stamps. The government is still closed.
Okay, well, one, there is nothing in the Epstein files as far as we can tell. Two, the government's still closed because of the Democrats.
Yes.
And three, the SNAP benefits are being paid out to the people that need it.
Yes, they are.
Otherwise, right on, Davey. You're coming out strong here today.
Strong and fake.
Yes, very fake. Very, 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 very fake.
Yes.
The government is still closed. Ranchers and farmers are getting crushed. Trump went to Asia and got humiliated by Chinese President Xi. And
I want to know how he got humiliated by Xi.
I don't know.
Now, Donald Trump's take on the whole meeting when asked, and he's like, oh, on a scale of 0 to 10. Yeah, he said it's a 12. I got more than I thought I would.
Yeah. Did it have something to do with the gift of the crown? Was that from China or North Korea? I don't know. Who the hell? Do you remember that? The boys were talking about that.
I am not sure.
One of them gave, he was in some Asian country and I wasn't paying that close attention, and they gave him a crown.
I know he was in Japan and they were like fawning over him. So it might have been in Japan.
Do they wear crowns in Japan? I don't know.
I think allegedly
this crown wasn't the crown you put on a king. It's one you put on a corpse. So it was like a big sort of silent symbolic fuck you. I don't know if it was true, but
Eric PP says that it was a South Korea, but I'm not sure on the meaning of, because really South Korea does not want to be pissing off the United States.
No, I can't imagine them doing that intentionally. That'd be pretty foolish, but you never know.
You know, again, you have to understand the culture to understand what the burial crown means, and reading a lot into it, people like to come up with the conspiracy theories.
Yeah, as long as the kimchi tasted good, I think that's all that matters.
China is providing us with the rare earth materials that are needed to make things like iPhones. Hey, can't stop that. It sounds like they're buying more soybeans than I ever knew were grown in the history of mankind. They're buying from the United States soybeans. Soybean farmers, man, you're going to be busy.
Don't eat that shit.
No. But China, I guess they love it because they're buying soy. They must be making all that soy sauce. Yeah, I'm assuming that's made from soybeans, right?
I would think, but I'm kind of, I believe Alex Jones when it comes to soy, so I don't need it.
And the fact is they're buying energy from the United States, which I can only assume means that they're going to be downsizing their buys of Russian energy, which is win-win on a couple of different levels.
And what form is this energy? Is this petroleum or coal? Or what
I believe
it?
Oil out of Alaska.
Okay. All right.
But it's interesting that Pacman's like, oh, we got humiliated. It's like, no, it seems like a deal was made that everybody is happy with. Oh, God forbid.
Yes.
Because really, we all have to understand. I mean, Davey, imbecile, Davey. Retard, paid shill, doesn't understand that you can't strong arm China. I mean, we need China. But they also need the United States. I say we like I'm representing the United States. But China needs the United States.
When we gather here, you're fucking representing this country. I decree it.
Woo! Then it must be true.
Yeah.
It's like it is a symbiotic relationship that if there was a total break, both countries would have problems. So as you said earlier, too, Xi is not a madman.
No.
He understands that for China to survive and thrive, they need the influx of dollars coming in for all the stuff they make.
Sure.
So this concept that Trump went over to Asia and got humiliated, he's like, he got deals with everybody.
Do you think we're the only country that buys that Temu shit?
I don't know. I'm sure the like the UK, I'm sure the you know, any place in Europe that's like, oh, we can buy cheap goods, man, it'll be great.
Have you ever bought shit from Alibaba?
Yes.
I have too.
And it's usually decent.
Yeah, I bought a dog gate to like, in my last house, I had to like keep a moose out of another room. It wasn't bad. It wasn't top shelf, but you know, it was cheap and it worked.
We bought some hockey jerseys back in the day for the Blackhawks. Now, every now and then, the crest, it is one of the most beautiful crests in all of sports, I think. The Blackhawk head that is on their jerseys. Mm-hmm. There were a few that the coloring was a little off. Most of them were beautifully done. And the reason, of course, you buy from Alibaba is because at the time, I don't even know what they are now, but this was like a decade ago when we went into the local sports shop here that had them, the official jerseys. For the official Blackhawk jerseys, then I think it was $350 and $379, depending on which of the jersey for a hockey jersey.
And that decimal point's at the third digit, I take it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a
holy shit.
You know, it's not $3, but now on the Alibaba, you could buy them for like $25 to $45 a piece. And
they're like, fuck you, sue us. Go ahead.
Right. Exactly. And you know, they're the ones making them in the first place for.
Of course they are. Yes.
And that's it. It's like, as long as you can get them into the country without being stopped, you're getting a good deal.
That's some funny shit. I love it.
And out of a lot of electronics, too, it's interesting, the stuff you can buy on Alibaba where it's like, oh, you know, buy 100 of these headphones for $8.
Didn't they disappear the founder of that, Jack Ma? I think they did.
I can understand why. There's probably a lot of mob action going on.
Yeah, he pissed them off in some big way, and I don't think he's around anymore. Yeah.
You don't want to piss off the Chinese.
No.
He doesn't want you thinking about that stuff. And so instead, they are crafting this narrative of FBI overreach and weaponized investigations.
You mean because there was FBI overreach and weaponized investigations where there's a paper trail, Davey? Uh-oh. There's a paper trail signed by the motherfuckers from the Biden administration who authorized it. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Unlike all the things you tried to pin on Trump where there was no evidence, Davey. You can't be like, he wants you to focus on this. Well, no, we want justice to come. Yes. For the people that broke the law, Davey, we're with you. Nobody above the law. Wasn't that one of the things Davey was all about?
Oh, yeah.
And Schmidt now is saying he wants hearings on this. They are all working together to lie to you. Here's Senator Lindsey Graham saying, no one was worried about what happened in the 2020 election until Trump said, I'm running again.
I don't know about you, but I'm offended that somebody in 2023 would subpoena my phone records to find out where I was at when I called somebody and who I called and where they were at. It's none of their damn business. I have a constitutional duty, like the rest of us here, as chairman of the committee regarding the 2020 election. I don't think the 2020